Well, as I was looking at this group of texts, I noticed that both of our New Testament lessons begin with the idea of time. And we see in Galatians, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son. In Luke, we see when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses. My bonus mom used to say, and by the way, you're quite welcome to use that if you have what are usually referred to as step relatives. I can't remember where I heard this first, but somebody said step relatives sounds sort of, well, not cold, but it just didn't sound all that great. So they came up with this bonus idea. And so I got a bonus mom. I had one and now I have another. So all that to say, my bonus mom used to say, and perhaps still does, God always works too late. Now, she was mostly joking. What she was doing more than anything else was helping us to realize that we're not alone when we think that God doesn't work when we want to. It seems like we're always waiting for something or other. Sometimes we don't even know what we're waiting for. We just have this feeling of waiting. And it's tempting for us to say that God does work too late. And we realize that that's tricky. We don't want to be spending time telling God that what God's doing isn't right. But we are allowed to express what we're feeling. And sometimes our impatience will boil over into the sense that things are happening too late. But look at those two little phrases. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses. There are things we need to wait for because that's just the way it is. Advent was a time of waiting. We wait for that season. If we're little, or for that matter, if we're pretty sure this is going to be a great year in the present end of things, as adults, we might impatiently wait through that whole process. And that's okay, but we wait. Why? Well, because the 25th of December is the day that we say is Christmas Day. And it doesn't matter if that's the actual day of Jesus' birth. That's the day we're waiting for. And we have to wait for the fullness of time before we can open presents. One of the delights of growing up in a family where my father didn't like Santa Claus in any way, shape, or form, and had a German background as much as anything, is we opened our presents on Christmas Eve. So we didn't have to wait till Christmas Day, and we felt a little smug when it came to our friends who had to wait till the next day. But we wait, and we still waited. We still waited till the 24th in our case, and we wait for lots of things. Many of them we know, but some of them we don't. We may not have known that we were waiting to be joined into another family. Some of us certainly did, because not every family of origin is ready to make a Hallmark movie out of it. I am extremely grateful, honored, pleased, all of those words with the family that I was allowed to be born into. We don't get to choose our parents and our siblings, at least not, well, certainly not our parents, and our siblings very seldom. That's just who we get. And sometimes they're wonderful. And I couldn't have asked for better parents. I don't know what, somebody once said, like, if you could change anything about your parents, what would it be? And I'd say, well, I'd give them more money because they gave a lot to me and I think they did without. But other than that, my parents were lovely, but not everybody's family of origin was that way. I know people who grew up in homes of abuse, homes where anger was the norm, where violence, all of those things. People in that situation are aware that their family isn't enough, and they may be waiting for another family, perhaps to marry into another family that's more what they need or whatever else it might be. But what we see when we look at our Galatians reading, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son in order to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as children. We have another family. And we all have this family. And we're in the family. this new family that we've been adopted into. We are bonus children. That's the other reason why I like that bonus idea, that we've been brought in, because you can call your adopted siblings or children bonus ones as well. They came beyond what you had before. Perhaps you were unable to have children. Perhaps you chose to adopt children because the need was there, whatever it might be. They're bonus children. And we are God's bonus children. Think of that. And we're children in every sense of the word, because Paul goes on to say, and because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So we're no longer a slave, no longer a servant. We're no longer trying to figure out what it means to obey every single one of those hundreds and hundreds of laws in the Old Testament. But we're a child. And what does it mean to be a child? Well, a child is heir to everything that the parent has. We are also heirs. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. God, not our works, not our efforts, not who we are and what we've done, but who we are because of who we are, just because we exist. We are adopted by God. We didn't earn this because we can't. I've never heard of somebody earning adoption, purchasing adoption, if you will, saying to somebody, I will give you this much money if you adopt me. I suppose it could have happened. I've just never heard of it. This is not what's happening here. When the people I know who are on either side of the adoption process, whether they're adoptive parents or adopted children, didn't pay each other for it. Sometimes the adoptive parents had to pay for the privilege of adopting people, but they didn't pay each other, because you can't pay for that. It's not that you don't have enough money. It's no one has enough money. It's not something that's available for purchase for anyone. Because adoption, certainly at its best, and in the adoptive parents and children that I know of, comes from love. And love is beyond price. It's outside of the whole transaction notion of price. There is no transaction involved. It's a gift. It's a joy. And hopefully in both directions, it's a gift and a joy. We are in this family. We are all siblings together. We are all bonus siblings. And in the same way that in a good family, there really isn't a lot of difference between one child and another. Oh, there's usually one child who's better at this or that. There's one child who's taller or shorter or whatever it might be. There's differences, of course. But it's not that anyone is more valuable than another. It's not that anyone is more in or out than another, because siblings are siblings. And I don't know what your family of origin was like, but as I've mentioned before, my family of origin, particularly my siblings, my three brothers and I, there was a lot of conflict. Some of it meant something. Most of it was just oversized boys blowing off steam, working out what it meant to be the youngest or the second youngest or the second oldest or the oldest or whatever it might be. And there's fighting all over the place. And if you were to listen to us, you could easily come to the conclusion that we hated each other because we called each other terrible names and not frequently, but now and then we actually struck each other. We'll just leave it at that. Sometimes with a missile, if it was an older person, and sometimes you were just too close, you used whatever was at hand. But if you were to come into our house on the heels of me saying something really unpleasant about any of my brothers and saying, yeah, that brother of yours, he's really a jerk, I'd turn on you in a heartbeat and say, what are you talking about? He isn't. He's the best brother there could be. He's great, and you aren't. And we'd go on from there. Why? Because that's what families do. That's the family we're now in. we support each other, even when we don't necessarily agree with what each other are doing. The fights that I had with my brothers were usually pretty trivial, but they were still about something that actually existed. But if somebody came in and said, oh, that thing you're fighting over, that's right, you should just get rid of that brother. There was no question of that. That difference between us no longer mattered. And when we thought about it, even if somebody didn't come in from the outside and tell us how ridiculous our brother was, even when we thought about it, we realized that insane as this brother's position might be on who is the better team in the NBA, how they could possibly be in our house and think that, I have no idea. But they were still my brother. And about the more important things and about the more difficult conversations we had, there was still always that sense that we were in the family, we were together, we mattered always. Even in the midst of yelling at each other and calling each other terrible names, saying things that we regretted sometimes as they left our lips, sometimes later, even in the midst of all that, we were a family, just like we are. Everyone on this Zoom call, everyone in our churches, everyone who's in a relationship with God, they've come into it through Jesus. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are all members of the same family. We disagree about things. There are some people in some churches that do things in a way that I find peculiar or odd or maybe even kind of crazy. But that doesn't change the fact that they're in the family, that we are connected to them through the adoption of children by God. It's hard sometimes when your siblings do things you don't like, or when your children do things you don't like, or even when your parents do things you don't like. And sometimes you need some separation, you need some time to work that through so you can continue to be in relationship with them and have that relationship distance close, and that's okay. Because we're always in that family. We're always in that group. If we're far apart at a moment, this moment, we can work towards being closer and closer and closer. And that's a wonderful thing. It doesn't always work. Sometimes it's more work than we're able to put in. We're fallen people, just as everyone else is. But because we are members of the family, we always have this opportunity to be closer to each other, to look past our disagreements, whatever they might be, whether they're trivial or significant, to look at what really matters, that we have been adopted by God, invited to become a child every bit as much as Jesus is a child. I don't know about you, but I like my family. The older I got, the easier it was to like them all the time instead of just some of the time. But even as I like them, I like you. I love you. I am connected to you through these bonds of family as well as church that makes everything better. So thank you for being part of this family with me, for doing all of the things that you do to make us more than the sum of our parts. We're almost finished 2020, and I think we're all pretty grateful for that. And each of you has been a significant part in helping me through it, and I hope I've been helpful in getting you through this most peculiar of years. And it's been done not out of duty, but out of the love that comes from being in the same family. Amen.